This episode is brought to you by Progressive Commercial Insurance. Trucking is a big job, so Progressive is proud to offer truckers the coverage they need and discounts to help them save. Quote truck insurance in as little as 7 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Welcome in to another edition of Rick and Bubba University, the podcast. Professors Burgess and Bussey here, handing out degrees.
Now, who are those guys?
I don't know who they are. It's almost like I've been doing a show already today, and my mouth has no more words. But I will tell you, Bubba, we are excited. This is going to be quite a journey. The book is called Glory, The Struggle for Yards, and you can find it wherever you get books. You can go to Amazon and find it there. Gary Burley is going to be our guest. But also, we have Donna Francavilla, who co-wrote the book along with Ralph Brooks. But we have two of the three that put together this incredible book on a part of history. You know, when you think about, you know, Black History Month, you think about the history of our country, where we are located in Birmingham, the center of the civil rights movement. A lot of stories, you know, you've heard them and you're pretty familiar with them. I will tell you, this book is going to document some things that I knew nothing about. I didn't know about these historic men that are documented here in the book. So without further ado, let's welcome Gary and Donna to Rick and Bubba University, the podcast. So Gary, hello.
How you guys doing?
We're good. Donna, hello.
Hello. Yeah, happy to be here.
Well, we're glad you're here. Why don't you kind of, either Donna, Gary, either one who wants to take the lead on this, why don't you tell those that are watching or listening to this podcast, what was the inspiration for this book? What were you hoping to accomplish?
That was Gary.
All right, Gary.
Well, I tell you, in 2014, I had cancer, and I was in the hospital for like 4 months, and I met gentleman that played for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we started keeping in touch with each other, and we start talking about doing a book or doing a, you know, some kind of promotion for it. And he passed away, and I started thinking more and more about the book, and I met Donna in her neighborhood, and we started talking, and she told me she was a author and a journalist and the whole nine yards. So I started thinking, you know, let's put together something that tells the story of the first African Americans in the National Football League. This has never been done before. And that's how it started.
Well, it blew me away, because I thought, you know, when we do the Wednesday Bible study here, and I met Gary in there through a mutual friend, and he was like, you realize this is Gary Burley that played for the Cincinnati Bengals? And I said, no, I did not realize that. And of course, you know, you're a very humble guy. You weren't bringing any attention to yourself. And he started telling me about this book, and I was like, okay, well, we'll talk about that. And we talked about your nonprofit, which we can get into before we're done. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think about it. Honestly, when I heard the topic, the first African Americans to enter the National Football League, I kind of thought, well, I'm familiar with that. I think I know who these people are, but I found out pretty quick I really didn't.
Yeah, they're a little bit before our time,
right, yeah,
of being a avid football watcher. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this was history we have not lived yet. Now, we did live some of the history when you played, and we were talking before the show. I think you hurt my quarterback, Fran Tarkington, one time.
Well, you know, I'll tell you a funny story about that. Fran came to Birmingham for an event, and he was on the stage, you know, promoting the event, getting up
right there.
And when he stood up, he saw me on the stage, and he goes, Gary Burley, get your big
right
up here on the stage. So I got up here, and he started giving me all these accolades and all this stuff. And then the last thing that he said was, it was a fair hit when he broke my leg. You know, they had the ambulance. They had all these people that wanted to boo me and all this stuff to get me out of the stadium. I had to have a escort to get out of the stadium. And then we ended up being best friends after that.
But it was a clean hit.
Clean hit.
Yeah. Now, would it be clean today?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, even under today's rules. Yeah. But you're interesting, your football prowess 16 years, right, in the NFL?
10 years.
Okay, 10 years. And then your last year you play with the Falcons, right? So you're with the Bengals. You have a Super Bowl, which is, you know, not many people get to do that.
There it is.
There's a Super Bowl ring. I think that was 80, 81, somewhere in there. So, but before that, I did not realize till I started reading parts of the book that you really were not recruited as a player out of high school, and your mama took you to a football camp. And I told Bubba on the show today, of all people, to be the person who took you under his wings, the assassin.
Yeah.
Jack Tatum.
Jack Tatum and John Hicks were two Ohio State football players, and they gave me the opportunity to go to a football camp. And once they saw my speed, they said, wait a minute, you got to play.
Right.
I said, well, you know, let's work on it. So I went to work with them, and I learned how to be a football player, actually. And Jack and John, they're no longer here, God bless them, they raised me. So that's how I got to be football.
Does that explain his intensity?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the person who introduced me to football is Jack Tatum.
So we have to ask. I don't want to chase too many rabbits today. Okay. But with you, Gary, we could chase a lot of
them. Yeah, we could.
Jack Tatum, was he as mean as his persona on the field?
On the field, he was a madman. You know, that's what they called him, the assassin.
Yes, right, yeah. Yes.
But Jack was a nice guy until you – made him not so nice.
Right.
And that's how he happened. That's what he did.
Yes, I think, so you're saying, I want to be sure I'm clear because I think that's what you're asking too. Is he one of these people, you're talking to him off the field, and then when he goes onto the field of battle, he flips a switch?
Yes.
So he wasn't
because
like that off the field.
We hear that there's people that were mean on the field, and they just continued that through life.
Right.
You know.
No, Jack was a good guy, and well, look, he tutored me, so you know, he had to change some kind of way.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, we enjoyed it, and we spent a lot of good time together. We went to basketball. You know, I played basketball in high school, so Jack and John went to some of my games and that kind of stuff. But they kept me in the loop, so I ended up being a 4-year All-American because of these guys, and I'll never forget what they did for me.
So why Pittsburgh? When I say Pittsburgh, I'm talking about college now, not the pros. So how did you end up being the All-American for Pittsburgh? Why Pittsburgh? Because you weren't highly recruited at one point, but once Jack and John got a hold of you, it became a different story. What was the college football recruiting experience for you?
Well, the college football recruiting experience changed in 2 years of junior college. Mm-hmm. And after junior college, I had every offer in the world.
Okay.
You know, so I picked Pittsburgh because Johnny Majors was my coach. And he sent, Jim Dyer, who was my defensive line coach, stayed with me all night long the night before we were picked. And they would not let me go anywhere until this actual signing was done. And that's how I ended up in Pittsburgh. And when I got to Pittsburgh, the first day that I got there, this little guy, I think he's like 150 pounds, and his name was Tony Dorsett.
Oh, boy.
And we got together and started hanging out. And he was my roommate in college for a few months. And then... everything else just went from the University of Pittsburgh to the National Football League. I mean, it was just magic.
Right. And of course, you went to the Bengals, and in those days, there was no free agency. There was not. I mean, so you once you were picked, that's where you went.
That's where you went.
And the draft wasn't the show that it is now. You were just sitting in a room waiting on a phone call, right?
That's all I had was a phone call. You know, I wasn't sent to one of the draft shows or anything like that.
You didn't have a stage and have hats and number one jersey. Because you went in the third round, right?
Yeah,
which is still really high picked, yeah.
Yeah, but I couldn't ask for better. A better team, a better coaching staff. And first of all, the guy that took care of me was Paul Brown. And I love that man. I love him to this day. And without him, I don't think I would have done as great as good as I was.
Is it true because the Bengals and the Browns uniforms look so similar, at times. Is that because of that relationship of those two franchises to Paul? Because sometimes you look at it and you see the Bengals.
But didn't he start the Browns and then go to the Bengals?
Yeah. And it looked like he just
name as the team.
Right, yeah. So because the uniforms, it sometimes, you know, it is some of the hues at times were very similar.
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, I mean, there was a lot of similarity to the Bengals, the first, not the Bengals, but when the Browns, you know, he was a coach at the Browns.
Right.
And he had a lot of influence to what he wanted to do. And I'm not sure about how it happened, but I know he got fired.
Yeah, I know. And they kept his name, which says all right.
Yeah. So, you know, everything that he did, he had a, I don't know. This guy was just amazing.
What do you mean by that? How did he separate himself from everybody else?
Well, you know, Paul was an inventor. You know, that's what he did. He invented the helmet, the face mask, the first face mask.
I mean, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So we're playing with no face mask to a ball. Paul Brown says we need to cover our face a little bit here.
Right. I think that's what he did. I'm not sure.
But he developed it.
Yeah. He developed it. And also all these other inventions that he had. So, you know, Paul, I mean, the NFL wouldn't have been the NFL without Paul Brown.
But far as a player, you were talking about how you loved him. I mean, obviously there was some relationship there. How did he influence you?
He told the truth.
Okay.
He would not let me do anything out of the way. He told me to work out. He told me when to be places at the right time. And that's something that I always learned.
Structure. He was all about structure.
Mm-hmm. He was all about structure. And that's how, you know, all the kids in our program now, the Pro Start program.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
But that's how I learned to be a part of that. You know what I'm saying? So there's so many things that he was good at and so many things that he taught me and so many things that I'll always remember.
Now, I hate to bring up the word process, but it sounds like he had a system.
He did.
A system. And you worked inside that system.
A systematic approach. That's what he always said.
And you didn't buck the system.
No.
And sometimes when you're being put in that system, you don't always appreciate
it.
But as you see the results, and then especially with me after it's over, you go, wow, that was really, I really needed that.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation with Gary Burley and talk about the book, The Glory, The Struggle for Yards, when Rick and Bubba University, the podcast, continues right after this.
This is the Rick and Bubba Show. Watch more at blazetv.com/Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Commercial Insurance. Trucking is a big job, so Progressive is proud to offer truckers the coverage they need and discounts to help them save. Quote truck insurance in as little as 7 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Gary Burley is our guest. Also, we have Donna Francavilla is with us today, have co-authored the book. So Donna, we've talked to Gary a good bit, and we will get back to that. When I was sitting here on the show promoting the podcast this week, and I looked at Bubba, and I said, some of the people I want to mention out of here, I'm going to throw these names. And like Bubba said earlier, we had not heard of any of these names, and these are men who were pioneers in professional football, but I never expected that you guys would cover one of the pioneers being the first African-American official to officiate professional football. So talk to us about that story.
Well, when we went through and tried to decide on who we should feature, we tried to choose people who were truly outstanding, and not only outstanding in their fields and the first, but also had good character. And so that's how we narrowed it down to these five. And we wanted most of them to focus on pre-NFL and early NFL. Mm-hmm. So that was the other criteria. Are you talking about who you're talking about?
I'm talking about Burl Toller. Is it Toller?
Oh, Toller. Yeah. Oh my God, Toller. He's amazing.
Yeah, and he was a phenomenal college player.
Yes.
But I know when we say some of these things, if you're younger out there, You honestly can't believe that society actually operated this way at one time. But, you know, played on a team that was denied, you know, going to a bowl game, even though they were undefeated, because they wouldn't let them play in the game unless the two black players didn't play. And, of course, they refused to do that, so they got kicked out. And he was on that team. And then, you know, obviously did not, you know, with professional football and the limitations that were going on there, he actually made an impact by being one of the first officials.
As we did the research, and I mentioned to Gary, you know, we need to really highlight the discrimination that took place, because some of these players started playing 25 years after the end of slavery. And yet they were playing for universities like Brown University against Harvard. You know, how did they do that?
Right.
And what was life like for them? Well, the more I dug into it, I realized that they were discriminated against. They often couldn't travel with the team. They had to stay someplace else when everyone else was in a hotel. They had to travel there on their own and pay their own expenses. They had to buy shoes and football equipment for themselves. So there were a lot of obstacles they had to overcome, and they persevered. And I was inspired by them, to just reading about them, because they were great people, and they didn't even complain about it. Burl Toller had an invisible visor that he wore under when he was the first black who was out in the field as an umpire, as a referee.
Yep.
And he wore an invisible visor under his cap so that he wouldn't be hit in the eye, and it wouldn't ruin his vision. And he wouldn't talk about that. He never made an issue of it. It's only because his kids noticed that one day and they were asking him about it that we even learned about this fact. So he was discriminated against, but didn't make an issue of it. And so that's his attitude and his approach, which was full of humility. And it demonstrated great character. He also, and I believe this is right, he was the principal, right? Mm-hmm. There are five of them. Sometimes I get confused.
Understood.
He was the principal of a school, of a middle school. So he was very much aware that he had to be exemplary to everyone, his family, the kids that's back at school. And he even did volunteer work, you know. So Just great people all around, all of them.
So when you think about that, and Gary, you can weigh on this too. Obviously, you're seeing this through a lens that the white folks sitting around here can't see through. But when you think about how they approached it, the way Dr. King approached it, is we're going to show that the discrimination against us is unfounded by being excellent. We're going to make people look dumb. That look down on us by being above and beyond in our character and our performance. So when you think about the men that y'all write about in the book, and I certainly understand that, unfortunately, until Christ returns, we are not going to see a society that is ever completely rid of racism or bigotry. It'll always be here to some degree, because human beings are flawed. It is better than it was. But do you think, when you see like some of the modern day players and some of the protests that they have done with, you know, not wanting to stand for the flag and these things, and they're calling attention to their plight, do you think these men, or maybe even someone like you who played in the early 80s, do you see them as not understanding how far things have come? I know we're not there, and we want to eradicate any that still exists. But do you think there's a lack of appreciation for what men like are in this book have done for the modern player?
Well, I'll say this. One of the things that happened during those times with the former guys, if you got caught after sundown, you know, this is one of the things that stood out in my mind. Here we're talking about football. We're talking about guys on a team. Mm-hmm. And then you talk about, here's a guy that can't go home after sundown because he's threatened or he's killed. One of the two things happened there. And that's what gave us the courage and the understanding of what we had to do, not just for black people, but all people.
Right.
So we could understand what these guys went through just to be football players.
Yeah, it kind of makes practice look like no big deal when you're just trying to be sure you get home before the sun goes down.
Yeah.
You know? But I guess that's my point. I think if and you've said it, Bubba, we've all said it, if we don't educate people about our past, then we're just going to not only make the same mistakes, I think, and you said it, Bubba, it limits the future.
Yeah.
You know, you want to understand how far you've come so you can appreciate where you are, and then of course always be committed to saying, well, let's move on to eradicate what's still there, but let's not ignore how far we've come.
No doubt. No doubt about it. We've all got a lot to learn, and we've all got to be on the same team. And to believe in football to start with, if we can just learn the history of what happened, we'll be much better people, and we'll learn from it. So,
you know, I think, too, historically, and we've talked about it, Rick, that's the one place that I never felt like there was discrimination when you were on a athletic team, because we're all going the same direction. We're all trying to get that W. We're all got our brother's back, no matter what their color. I mean, we didn't even think about it back then when I was a kid.
Not playing sports. No.
And, you know, I think when we get everybody pulling in one direction, it takes – it takes all of our attention to do that as opposed to getting off on all these other tangents.
I agree with you 100%. And I'm learning more and more from this book and other stories that we're coming up. We just heard about another book that Donna was telling me about. Her dad, was it her dad?
Charles Follis?
Charles Follis.
Yeah, Charles Follis's nephew has released a book on him, because he was the first professionally paid black player, and he was a great player. He ended up dying at the age of 31 from pneumonia, wow. So it was a very brief lifespan. But we're now seeing road signs change to Follis Way, and you know, stadiums right. named after him, because they're discovering what a great player he was and how many inroads he made, and how much discrimination he had to put up with. There were stories about how he would have to change right before going into the stadium, so no one knew what he was doing, and they'd have to sneak him in. And anyway, we go into more detail in the book, but it's an amazing story. And these people, as I said, were outstanding. And you'd be missing out if you don't learn about them, because I think they're you know, we like throughout our history, we've learned about exemplary people.
Yep.
And we need to add these guys to the list.
No doubt. And like we were talking about today, I had never heard of them.
Yeah.
And so
we came along a little bit after
yeah,
that.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And even the discrimination you're talking about and you witnessed, I mean, it's really kind of inconceivable to us. I mean, I know it happened and we see the reels, but I just can't imagine treating people that way. You know, it's just completely foreign to us, I guess.
One football player said that he only reason why he did so well is because he had a lot of brothers and they'd beat him up on a regular basis.
Right.
And so when he played football and the other players were punching him and, you know, kind of landing on him so that he would be on the bottom of the pile, he would take his legs and do like a motorcycle movement to keep them off of him. And he was able to play football without getting hurt like the other guys. I mean, the fact that they, you know, they had to go through so much just to get where they were. But they loved the sport. And that's the other thing that really affected me and impressed me, is that they, back then, they didn't earn very much money.
Right.
They weren't compensated they are today.
Right.
So they
played. Gary, how about some of them contracts now, Gary?
I got to tell you, these guys earn $15 a day playing two games.
In a week?
In a week.
Oh, wow.
Two games in a week for $15 bucks.
And that's why most of them played baseball on the off season.
Yeah.
So they played multiple sports long before we heard of these multiple sport athletes. All of them did it because that was a way to pick up some more money.
That's right.
Exactly.
We'll come back. We'll continue our conversation. Here's what the name of the book is: Glory, The Struggle for Yards. You can find it on all the online stores. You can go to Amazon and pick it up. And you'll read about these incredible men, the Black Cyclone, Charles Follis, Motorcycle McDonald, Henry McDonald, the first Haitian to ever play a professional football game. Gideon Smith, the first African-American varsity athlete in any sport. And then, of course, the human tornado, Fritz Pollard, is the first black coach to ever be in the National Football League. So these are some of the stories, and of course you'll hear Gary's incredible story as well. And we'll talk more about that when Rick and Bubba University, the podcast, continues right after this. So, Bubba, we love the folks at Patriot Mobile. We've been talking about this a lot. And, you know, we all love to be able to get great service. But if we're honest, sometimes the company that's providing the service and we see the things they stand for, we see the things they do, you get a little squeamish and you're like, you know what, I wish I could maybe get this service from somebody else.
Right, right. Well, don't always support what they're doing.
No, well, when it comes to wireless, there is a choice. The Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say the only, I mean the only. And that's why so many have switched and love Patriot Mobile. They're offering dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all the three major networks, which I know that we're not asking you to come down on quality, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding maybe movements that you don't agree with. So when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message you support free speech, you support religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment. You're supporting our military, our veterans, our first responders. And when you call for service, guess what? Everybody you're talking to is completely 100% U.S.-based customer service team. So switching is easy. Keep the number you got now if you want to. Keep the phone if you want to. Or if you want to upgrade, they'll help you with that too. The team is ready to find the best plan for your needs by going to PatriotMobile.com/Rick Bubba. Just put the two names together. PatriotMobile.com/Rick Bubba. Or you can call them at 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code Rick Bubba. Rick and Bubba University, the podcast. Gary Burley is with us. Donna Francavilla is also with us. The book is Glory, The Struggle for Yards. This is the inspiration from the turn of the century African-American unsung heroes, and you can get it wherever you get books.
Gary, I've got to know, too, and it's a little off the topic today, but being a defensive end,
yep.
I want to know which quarterback you feared the most.
Quarterback that I feared?
Yes, mm-hmm. That you go, man, we're gonna have buddy, a long we day today. We got to get after this guy.
Bradshaw.
Oh, really?
That was a tough guy. He really was. And there's so many great guys. Doug Williams, all the guys that put all their effort into the game, you knew that they were going to be tough to beat. Some we beat, some we didn't. But those were the three guys that I look forward to playing every time we had a good game.
How about people hard to tackle that you thought, man, when this guy comes
like hitting a truck.
Yeah, I'm gonna get as much punishment as I'm gonna dish out on this guy.
Well, you know, I never had a problem tackling guys because my elementary school football coach.
You're going all the way back to your elementary school.
Yeah. Yeah. He taught me.
So when you're out there playing for the Bengals, we need to credit him for teaching you how to tackle right.
Exactly.
Right.
Because, you know, guys don't tackle anymore.
No, they don't.
You know, and
it's hard to watch.
And it's tough. It's very tough. But I learned that if you tackle those knees, you can't go nowhere. That's the one lesson that I learned, 70 years ago, 60 years ago, whatever it is. Mike Jackie was my head coach, and he said, if you look at their waist and you tackle their waist, you'll end up at the knees. And that was with me for the rest of my life, or for the rest of my career.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the way I tackle guys. But now, man, I don't know how they do it. But
yeah, it's a different – I think about, you know, the times that you played, you go out there right now – I mean, even in coaching, I've had people ask me to coach before, and I said, well, I can't coach interior linemen because the way we did it is not legal anymore. You know, and so I don't know how to teach blocking. I don't know how to teach getting off a block. And, you know, but when you played, so when it came to man-on-man, who was that tackle that you thought was the most difficult to get around? Who was the tough person blocking you?
Franco Harris.
Oh, so coming out of the backfield.
Uh-huh.
So he cut you. Or would he just hit you up?
Well, he's so big.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I go at the knees. That was it. But Franco, this guy had more talent and skill as a running back.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, of course, Tony Dorsett, I got to tell
right.
the guy. But,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
But the big guys... He was the most.
So Franco, he because the way he ran, even yeah. he was smart about trying not to take a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize that he was so big and strong too. Though.
Oh yeah, he's big and strong.
He kind of kept his feet under him. He wasn't yeah. like a slasher.
Yeah.
To me, he always looked like he was running on ice.
Yeah.
Almost, he kept his feet under him. Yeah. You know, uh-huh. But boy, he was a load moving forward.
Now, a guy that I didn't have to tackle during practice was my teammate. Pete Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Boy, he was a
load. That guy was a load.
That's a load right there.
Yep.
But now, so offensive lineman, you didn't have any offensive lineman that bothered you at all?
Oh, yeah.
So who was the best offensive lineman?
I'd have to say, what's the center's name for the Steelers?
Oh, yeah, Mike Webster.
Mike Webster. Yeah, Mike was... Whew.
He was a pro. That whole offensive line for the Steelers was pretty good.
They didn't have a weak spot on the field. That whole team was good.
They didn't have a weak person on the field.
Four Super Bowls.
Yeah, they did something right.
Yeah, they did. But I mean,
and they had to play y'all twice a year.
Well, and in those days too, which really wasn't fair. They had, you know, they called them the 505. They had five offensive linemen that could bench over 500,
mm-hmm.
including Mike. Then they had the steel curtain on defense. Then they had Bradshaw. Then they had Franco. Then they had Lynn Swann. Then they had John Stallworth, you know. And then they had Jack Lambert. Then they had Jack Ham. And I mean, and you're like, but in those days, because of no free agency, they yeah. just would come back and have the same team next year. You know, that's exactly. when you can put a dynasty together when the players can't leave. You know, and so when you look at the money, even in the 70s and the 80s, when you look at the money, can you believe it? I mean,
I can't.
Yeah.
You know, my biggest salary, I think, was $250,000.
Okay, I wasn't going to ask you that, but I'm glad you got that. That's what we wanted to know.
Yeah.
But compared to $10 million that they make now, it's unbelievable. I mean,
but you couldn't believe you were getting that at that time, probably.
No,
right?
I couldn't. I was happy. You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm happy for the guys that get paid like that because they were pioneers for the guys that didn't get it.
That's true.
Here's the $15 an hour guys, mm-hmm. or $15 a game guys,
right.
compared to $50 million guys,
right.
dollars. So I'm happy.
But don't you want to use this book to make sure that they need to know that?
Yes.
You know, because sometimes you got to know the people that laid down, you know, the path for you, so you can have respect for what they do and take the field on their behalf. But if I don't know it, I don't appreciate it.
Well, Donna and I and Ralph. We've been doing everything we can to promote this book, but also to teach people what they need to know about this. Because just think about this. There's people that have never heard of any of these characters or any of the things that these guys did or did during their careers. So, you know, it's our job to teach people.
Especially if you're younger than us, because we followed sports and pro football, and I didn't know any of these guys.
No, we're going to do it. And here we are, going to be 60 this year. And if you start talking about people that broke into the game, I mean, I'm remembering thinking I really got something thinking about Gale Sayers and people like that. And I'm like, no, this happened long before any of that. Long before any of that.
So I've got to ask you about one more. I know this is a painful memory. One of the Super Bowls
here we go.
But Joe Montana.
Look at his face.
Montana.
Why would you do that to Gary?
He was the quarterback of the Niners in 82, right? When y'all played him in the Super Bowl.
81.
Yeah. 81 Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yes. That is.
You had it.
Bad feeling. For
you
me.
Had the game.
Yeah. What was it? 20. 20.
20
I don't remember the score.
26-21.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, is this the one where he went into the huddle, Rick, and said something about John Candy?
John Candy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and then put that drive together. And here you are just out there. What are you thinking? I mean, are you just like, guys, we just
– Did it drive you crazy, too, with their offense? Because he was the three-step drop, throw it. You never really got a chance to rush him much, did you?
Not at all.
He got rid of that ball pretty dang quick. He had some good guys to run with when they caught it, too.
But you know, the thing about it is – we played that game like two teams. You know, we were good. I mean, you got to be good to get to the Super Bowl.
Right. No question.
But somebody had to win, somebody had to lose.
And it went right down to the end. You couldn't have had it much closer.
Yeah, you didn't get embarrassed.
No, not at all. And that's something that you have to learn in football. You know, you got to play hard. And if you don't win, you play the best game you can possibly play. And that's what keeps us going, or keeps everybody going about football.
Yeah, I think any of us, you know, no matter what you're doing, it goes beyond football, but we're using football for a great analogy, and it's always a good one. You can live with yourself if you can honestly say, and I'm not trying to be corny, this mm-hmm. is true, if you get in that vehicle after that game was over and you go, Montana put together the drive, he made the plays, they beat us, but I know that I did everything I could to win that game. I didn't loaf. I didn't miss an assignment.
I knocked him down a few times.
Yeah, I just got beat. I just got beat. You know, and there's a time. I feel like we're living in a time now. Of course, my dad always hated this, and he would not allow it. We make excuses about everything now.
Yeah.
You know, can't you just say the 49ers lined up and went down the field and won the game?
Exactly.
Yeah, and it didn't mean we didn't play well. They just did what they had to do, and we lost straight up. As opposed to, well, I got a bad call here, or, you know, my foot started hurting me, and I didn't sleep good the night before. And, you know, if you can get in that vehicle and say, I did everything I could do, and they still beat us, yeah. then
Gary, so be it. The teams you played with, we've documented that. Was there a team or a coach or an organization that you thought, if I get traded to them, that would be okay? Or you would have liked to have played for?
You know what? I never thought about that, but you know, when I got traded to the Atlanta Falcons, I thought, "Oh, wow, this is a great place to be in. I've got a good relationship with some of the guys. Mm-hmm. You know, we got some business relationships together." I didn't think about it. I said, "Well, I was just blessed to spend 9 years with the Cincinnati Bengals and that team, and then come on to the next level, and I was lucky enough to go to another team."
Yeah, so you just didn't have that mentality in those days?
No.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and you seem to, in the book, say you had a great experience with the Bengals.
You
seem to like that organization?
I love that organization. I mean, Mike Brown and Paul Brown and all the other little Browns.
The Browns everywhere.
The Browns everywhere.
Yeah.
All those guys, you know, they appreciated me, not just because I played football, but because I didn't give them any problems.
Right.
You know, I didn't get in any trouble. And I've just been blessed, guys.
Yeah.
Like, just like you.
We understand. Yeah.
You know, and when you've been blessed, you continue to be blessed.
Amen.
And God is out there with me.
Yeah. We'll come back. We're going to finish our conversation. And we'll talk a little bit about a nonprofit that Gary's part of, too, that's doing great work. When Rick and Bubba University, the podcast continues right after this.
This is the Rick and Bubba Show. Watch more at blazetv.com/Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So Gary Burley's our guest. Also, Donna Francovilla is our guest. The book is Glory, The Struggle for Yards. And you can find this on Amazon, other online stores. And this is the inspiration that you'll take from this. Some incredible stories about pioneers in the African-American community. Unsung heroes. A lot of them, like us, you probably never heard of. And what they accomplished in professional sport is amazing. So look for these stories, and you also get Gary's story, which is also incredible, which we've been delving into as well. So let's talk about Pro Academy Sports.
Okay.
This is something you said early on in our interview. The inspiration for this actually happened a long time ago because you saw how these things benefited you. As a young man trying to find your way, what is this, and what are you trying to accomplish with this?
Well, I want to teach the fundamentals of football, mm-hmm. but also the academics that kids are going to need to take it to the next level.
Right,
and that's what we do. we have a sports camp, and we invite different guest speakers to come along that, you know, Alabama Power people, all the people that can help us progress.
Yeah.
And they talk to us about how to make and save money.
Okay.
And those are some of the things that kids don't know about, and we want to teach them.
Oh, Bubba, you've been preaching that.
I know.
So you know, it is one of the things. We give them all these inspirational, you know, talks and work hard and good work ethic, and all that's important.
Right.
But really, if they don't know how to handle money and they don't know how to budget and they don't know how that works – you get in a bind pretty quick.
You know, budget is not a four-letter word.
No, speaking of, so you guys don't just teach the fundamentals of sport. You're teaching life, including academics and even how to handle money.
Yes. As a matter of fact, one of the segments of our book is done by Valencia Bell, and she teaches ACT prep and that type of thing. So we give our kids everything that they need to do. Now, if they don't take advantage of it, then, you know, we just got to keep on going.
Right.
But a lot of the kids enjoy doing what we're doing. And now that the COVID is over, we want to get right back into doing what we were doing before.
And so do you do camps and things like that, or how does it work?
Well, we have a camp, and every week, every Saturday, they all come. And hopefully my wife, who is the president of Miles College, will let us use her stadium.
so you know somebody
you
at Miles College.
You need a little Golden Bear favor there. Yeah.
I need some athletic facilities. You don't know where there are any. Yeah. Use what you got.
Right? Exactly. Right? Yeah. Exactly.
You got to be resourceful.
Also, you've been through some difficult things in your life. And, you know, we talk about this a little bit. Now, Bubba, I want you to think about this. He's battled cancer.
Yep.
So y'all are brothers on that. Bubba has as well. Surgeries, a stroke, a full-blown kidney transplant, a bone marrow transplant.
Brain surgery.
Gary, you think it's one of
me? Gary, you got any original parts?
Gary, of course, you know his nickname is Job.
Yeah.
So, my goodness. I mean, here you are, and being around you when you're here on Wednesdays too, you don't see a bitter man, but you've been through a lot. Why are you not a bitter man?
God.
Mm-hmm.
God has blessed me. My wife has put me in a position to not work. You know, I gotta send a shout out to my wife
because, sure,
you know, she was the vice president for 30 years with Alabama Power, and for 5 months, every day, she would work out of my hospital bed to heal me.
Mm.
She would talk to me. She would, you know, do whatever she needed to do, and I gotta give it to her, man. So the answer to your question is, I'm blessed. You know, I could have been dead. Could have been dead a long time ago. But God said, you know, let me I got to tell you this. My mom came to my room in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was sitting on the toilet, of course. As he always did. And my mom sent me this song called Peace Be Still, and that was by James Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
I heard her say, you're going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Cancer or whatever is not going to bother you. So when I woke up, my wife was at the foot of my bed, and I said, Mom, where's my mother? I smell her perfume.
Mm-hmm.
She said, no, honey, your mom's been in heaven for 25 years.
No, come again, watch out now, Gary. You're going to give us all chills.
I'm telling you, that's what happened. And I was under the impression that my dad was in the bathroom still, and my mom was there. And they, for some reason, I thought she was.
That story so touched me that I made sure that we put it in his bio in the book, because I think that they were there to comfort him spiritually and to reassure him. Anyway, it's just, it gave me chills as well.
Yeah, so it's so many times the comfort that we need, it certainly comes from God, but it comes to us in, you know, the things, I guess, at the time he thought would be the most comforting. You know, and whether that was something that he was just from the Holy Spirit, obviously, because, you know, we don't think we're visited by people from the other side, but that we certainly can have dreams and visions that he gives us. I know that you and I both have, I've seen people that that I love that have gone on to glory in a dream, and it's almost like it's as real as it ever was.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the Lord always provides what we need. Well, fascinating stuff, Gary and Donna. I'm glad that you guys.
We could talk a lot longer.
Yeah,
they limit our time on these, but it's been a pleasure to meet you, Gary.
Yeah, it really has.
We didn't even scratch the surface with Donna, Rick.
I know
she actually worked in the building with us.
Yeah, I know.
One time.
So. Yeah, that when Speedy was putting all this together, for those of you that may not know the weekly show, that's our producer. He was like, you know, Donna, we've seen that. We met Donna several times in the past, and all the influence you have in the
we
media.
Were babies in radio.
That's right. Way back when.
Well, you worked in New York. We worked here. That's a little different.
Little bit different there. But anyway, if you want to get the book, you can go get it on Amazon. And if you'd like to find out more about Pro Academy Sports, you can certainly Google that, and it'll come up, and you can see everything that Gary's doing there. If you want to come alongside and help them, or maybe this is something you would like to get, you know, somebody involved in that you think it would be good for them. So you can find that information as well. Gary Burley and Donna Francovilla. The book is Glory, the Struggle for Yards. And these incredible stories about these wonderful men that, if you're like us, you may have never heard of. But the impact that they've had on professional sport, I didn't even know.
Rings loud today.
It rings loud today. We all owe them a debt. So pick it up. Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Donna. And thanks to each and every one of you for taking time to be with us on this edition of Rick and Bubba University, the podcast.